I need a podcast. Welcome to the checkpoint. Stay a while and listen.
You became so happy with yourself.
Yeah, I did it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Cursed Checkpoint. Tonight's topic is the first of a two-part episode detailing our experiences with Diablo 3. So we're going to kind of get caught up to speed with where our crew has gotten since our live stream on launch day. And knowing that our experiences aren't close to being done with this game, but thought it was a good time to get caught up in. I am your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight, my Diabros. Just getting that out there. Josh mm-hmm. Lee.
I didn't think you were actually going to use that.
I like it.
It was a joke.
We're trying to take bros back.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
We need to do it.
If we take bros back, we need to own Diabros.
Yeah.
And also, the number one bro on the site.
Thank you.
Ethan Moses.
Thank you.
Sure is.
Glad to be here. So, gentlemen. How the hell has Diablo 3 been treating you? Let's go back. Let's go back to the bro-op itself.
Yeah. Okay.
So we had about 14 hours of recorded game time, at least.
Yeah.
And so you've had a week to kind of recover at this point. And what are your thoughts looking back, Josh?
First of all, that was a really fun time. I was kind of sad on Tuesday at midnight.
I agree.
That we had to shut it down. Yeah, it was about 11:45 actually when the Battle.net servers all took a dump. Which wasn't the first time that happened.
Mm-hmm.
We took us an hour and a half to get into the game to begin with. And it was so. But besides the Battle.net pains, I had a ton of fun playing with four of my best gaming friends. So that was, you know, in itself, that was going to be a fun time. But, like, experiencing a game that I had been anticipating for 11 years, you know, it was pretty cool. It was very special. My heart was warmed, and my clicking fingers were sore.
Mm-hmm. How much was Diablo 3 an actual part of that, or was it just the shared gaming?
It was really good. There was a ton of nostalgia in there. Like, right out you from the get-go, it's Decker Kane's talking to you. You see new Tristram, and then you see old Tristram in the cathedral. You're visiting, like, some familiar locales from Diablo 1 and 2, and just very first, you know, some of the first places you go into in the first act. And for that kind of, for me as a fan of Diablo, that was pretty exciting. It was fun. And just immediately, we got into that groove of clicking on stuff, watching stuff die, and then picking up loot and putting it on. Like, that was, it's that cycle. It's the reason we all play Diablo, and it was very easy to get into right when we started.
Ethan?
Yeah, I think that groove, and I hadn't played Diablo for the longest time, and I played Diablo 2 over the weekend, and I was a little bit nervous to play with these guys because use guys, as they say in other countries, I guess, other sides of the country. Anyway, I'm a little bit nervous because I mean this is one of those games that people really get into, and so we're not going to be again this bro-op with me being the weak link, you know what I mean? And we got into it. No one was super angry. We killed a lot of monsters. A ton. Dito got killed quite a few times. But it was because he was playing balls to the wall, and that was it, man.
Right.
Some of us were just...
And he was in, like, a gi. So...
Yeah, he was. The whole time he was in a gi. He never got out of it. I was worried about him from the beginning. But no, I mean, again, nostalgia came back really quickly, and it was cool to see old locales, because we've seen the same graphics for, again, 11 years. You know, if we've been replaying Diablo 2 and stuff like that, we haven't seen anything real new, and it was just flashy and exciting, and there was just something new and shiny around every single corner. And from that perspective, the design was, you know, top-notch.
I had a lot of apprehensions going into it, just because I think same thing as you, Ethan. I didn't want to be the weak link. I don't really have a
grand Diablo background. I really enjoyed the hell out of the first game, but didn't play much of the second one, let alone any multiplayer with people I knew. So I didn't know how that experience would go, because I'm the type of gamer, I like to be very methodical with my adventures. And I was surprised it actually kind of took to the group. We were very balls of the wall. I mean, we were, when it was clicking,
yeah,
when there's a lot of clicking in that game, we were just kicking ass.
Yeah.
And there was something very, very fun about just destroying, like, just writing this world. We were the heroes. Oh. And so getting behind that, I didn't expect that emotion to come out at all. And when, you know, I had a lot of issues, which I'll detail at a different point, but when the game was grooving along, it was a blast, and I didn't have any idea of what, you know, a co-op Diablo experience would be like, and I really recommend it. Like, I've always viewed Diablo as a single player experience, and it definitely ramps up with a group of friends.
That's funny, because I have only a couple of times have I played Diablo, any Diablo single player. Like, I only ever really played co-op. So just the idea of, like, I'm gonna just log on and play for a couple hours tonight. Like, I actually tried that the other day, it was okay. It was fun. I mean, it was fine, but it was more like I was just trying to get some gold for my other character, because you share gold between your characters.
Yeah.
And your stash, which is cool. But, luckily I have people to play with, but yeah, there's no reason to play this by yourself, because when you have more people in the game, it gets a little more challenging, which I think is good. The game actually kind of, especially starts out on the easy side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make it accessible, and it does ramp up in difficulty, and then, you know, go into Nightmare and you start getting ruined.
Yeah.
But, I don't see why you wouldn't. And more loot. Better loot.
Yeah.
Because there's more crap to kill if you're playing co-op.
And I actually had the experience, due to my connection issues, that later in the day I ended up like 4, 5, 6 levels behind the main group here. And I was finally able to jump back in. And I was worried that I would feel like I was just kind of tagging along or not contributing, or I would have to huddle close or I would die. But I don't know if Diablo adjusted to just our group layout or my level, but it did feel like I was contributing. I didn't feel like I was risking my life when I was getting away from the group, and it was more fun. Like, I was really worried that I wouldn't have any fun when I jumped back in at a lower level, but it seemed to balance right. And then, you know, there's loot lust and then there's group loot lust, and like, when your group is helping you get new items, and
yeah,
I mean, it just explodes.
And the one, like, the loot is always the point of contention in those kind of games, especially in, like, a Diablo 2. It was like, soon as, like, you hear the bing of, like, a ring dropping or a gem dropping or whatever, you see a yellow name, you're like, oh god, it's like a race to click on it first. And then even if it's like something you can't use, you end up giving it to someone else, it's still like, you were like, someone else had to give me that thing. So it's almost a little bit tarnished. Maybe this is just me. But in Diablo 3, everyone has their own damn loot.
Yeah.
And gold.
Yeah.
Like, your drops are your own. No one else sees your drops. And every time something drops, like, if you got three guys in the game, instead of one thing dropping, three things drop there. So you don't, it's just so seamless. And you never have to be like, oh, there's a thing I didn't get to it in time. Or you don't even have to look at the other guy's stuff so it's not confusing, like, where you're clicking. And that was just like seems like a really simple design decision, but it makes a lot of that, the loot side of the experience, like, it makes it to me. Like, I don't think it would be the same game. Like, it would ruin friendships in Diablo 2.
Well, it takes away all points of contention. I mean, there's not really any, it's a cooperative game. There's no competitive aspect to it. No, and that was great. I mean, regardless of what your strategy was, you know, like, you know, a couple of us kind of ran ahead a little bit more, kind of scouting out the dungeons, and, you know, but even with that, it all works out, you know, so there's no, you can't really dick up a game, you know, unless you, I guess, draw a bunch of monsters into the fight with all your other buddies or something along those lines. There are ways to dick the game up, but you'd have to try, you know what I mean? Where in the past, you could ninja gear, you could just be a douchebag, you could not share with your friends, which they're not your friends if they're not sharing, let me just say that. But I mean, yeah, that's
I'm just glad we didn't have to find out if any of us in our group was a douche, you know.
And there's always that type. Well, and you were talking about, you know, playing online with people, but we kind of talked a little bit before the show of, I've been playing single player a lot, but I keep seeing you guys pop up, and even though we spent 12 hours, 14 hours playing together, it's almost like you're like, should I click on? Should I not? Are they
are they on a special mission? Are they grinding? What? And it's really kind of nerve-wracking. So I feel like maybe there should be a better system of saying, I'm available for play, or,
yeah. Yeah, probably not right now.
Maybe a status. But.
Yeah, actually, yeah, just a little status update thing. If you could just do it from that same menu, like, it wouldn't be that difficult.
I'm open for you. I'm willing. Right. Open and willing. Right. Probably not the best terminology.
You can't close it off. Like, if you got somebody on your friends list, they can just join you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
I actually had that happen and it completed the final step in a quest for me when they jumped in the game, and I was it was like basically you've killed the guy, you have the thing, go back to town. But and I wasn't in town, I was still cleaning up some other stuff, but it gave me that milestone because they had already done it, or I don't know what happened. So that kind of threw me off, so I would appreciate the status stuff. But we'll get into kind of our experiences since then. Any other kind of last minute reactions to just the co-op features that stand out?
I think the classes really, really complement each other, but they're set up in a way that you don't screw yourself over by your build, which at first I was a little bit hesitant about because, again, you don't in this game. You're using runes to kind of adjust the powers that you get or the skills that you have, as opposed to, you know, in the previous games or in Diablo 2, because I can't really remember a whole lot about Diablo 1. You actually put points into skills and you put points into attributes, whereas in this game, your attributes are static. You know, they change as you level, but each class has a specific, you know, number of attribute points they get, you know, put onto their stats. And gear is a lot more important in terms of, you know, raising your stats, but it makes it a lot easier not to get in there and have like a completely useless class and be like that, again, that weak link. It's tough to be that weak link because you have an opportunity to play. And you have an opportunity to catch up, you know?
It seems like a lot of the skills let you, with the rune stuff, it lets you spec your skills for, like, your direct damage or damage over time or just straight-up debuffs. So it would be really cool when, like, I was playing the wizard and I could drop down my, you know, my slow time bubble or I could do a freeze or something like that, and then somebody could come in, you know, with, like, an AoE attack or whatever right into the big ball of, you know, incapacitated enemies.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I didn't have a whole lot of really high damage kind of stuff. But I was still utility useful.
Yeah.
I was really excited about how your skills can complement each other, especially in co-op mode, because as a primarily solo Diablo player up to that point, just, now that skill is fairly useful and I can, you know, aside from playing solo, there's a lot of skills I wouldn't use. One thing I was frustrated by, and this doesn't have anything to do with Diablo 3's design, but just getting acclimated to the Diablo 3 systems, I was still a little bit intimidated with our co-op experience, just trying to, you know, when I'm trying to play with the new actions that the new skills I've unlocked, especially when you get into runes and try to mix and match and not slowing the group up while I'm still playing around with that stuff. Because it actually, there were a few nuances about how to map out my skills that I didn't pick up until after I had some time by myself to actually play around with those, and because I felt like I was slowing the group down. So that's just kind of one of those things you either have to come to agreement that you guys are all going to look through that stuff, or you come in with that prior knowledge. But that's also we're playing on launch day and just going, and so it wasn't too
frustrating. Well, yeah, we had an audience, you know, so that's part of that too. You want to show them more of the game and that kind of stuff. You don't want to sit there and stare at a menu for 10 minutes.
But that being said, transitioning between skills, I mean, is pretty quick.
It is.
And by comparison,
you can't gimp yourself. You don't have like really tough decisions.
Well, exactly. And for those of you that haven't figured it out, click on elective mode, because then you can map your skills to any of the buttons as opposed to being restricted to, you know, the secondary, primary, and that kind of stuff. Just because I found that out the hard way.
I didn't. I didn't realize it was. I think I had
after that.
I
figured it out. Right.
I think I had the elective option active, but I didn't know what it was doing.
I thought it was just a swap on the numbers. I didn't know
as you unlock skills, like, it basically, you start out with the primary and a secondary skill, and then you can map a there's also passive skills, but you can map more class-specific skills to other buttons. Yeah. But you can, at any point, you could map primary skills to those buttons as well. And that I didn't discover until after our co-op session. But once I discovered I could mix and match, then my character just opened up and
changed.
I became a badass.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
And I love how simplified that system is, just, you know, really only having six skills that you're focused on versus trying to fill up that action bar. And also just, you know, I appreciate that it simplified a lot of the RPG stuff that maybe isn't absolutely necessary for Diablo, as far as you're not leveling up independent like skills like dexterity or strength. Your class just goes, and you're just focused on what active skills you want to use.
Yeah.
And I like that.
All your loot's doing that anyways.
Yeah. I was going to say, and that's what was always important in the end game of Diablo 2. I mean, there's a lot of complaints about people saying, oh, you know, my... You know, oh, I can't adjust my skills on my own. But I mean, at a point, it doesn't make any difference, you know, because you're using jewels and you're using, you know, armor to, again, supplement you. And it just, again, I kind of liken it to, you know, some of the aspects of XCOM that have been taken out of the future games or that will be taken out of the future games is, did you really like those aspects of the game? Or are you just kind of nostalgic about it? Or are you just trying to, you know, put the barrier of entry higher for casual players? And I think that's where kind of, you know, a little bit of the negativity comes from is because I think people interpreted maybe a Diablo 2 because you could gimp yourself. You could completely screw yourself over. Taking that away is almost like, oh, well, now everyone can play. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think more people playing this game is great. Absolutely.
If you want to get deep into the numbers, like if that's your thing, you absolutely can do that. Now, by default, like the advanced tooltips and stuff aren't on, so you don't actually see some of those numbers. So go check that box right away,
yeah,
along with elective mode. And then you can see, and damage, show damage numbers. Yeah. You have to turn that one on. But yeah, then you can play the numbers game, and you can look at all your stats. It's got everything from your percentages, all that stuff.
The range of accessibility versus depth in this game is just, that's where you start to see the time investment that they put into this.
Yeah.
Like, and then they've streamlined it, but they, you know, if you want the more detailed experience, it's still underneath the hood there.
Yeah, great UI, you know, that kind of stuff. Even the inventory management they simplified. Everything either takes one or two squares.
I was really afraid that this game would just come across as just another Diablo game and simple and like, what the hell were we waiting for? Like, this is just a new skinned upgrade. And not, you know, not that Blizzard really gives you a reason to doubt that, but it was still, Diablo wasn't really the most complex experience, but what would the wait for Diablo 3? Would it be worth it? And I'm kind of just at that point where unquestionably the game, the quality of the game and the depth of the experience and especially the replayability, I don't know when I'm going to be done with this game right now.
That's my concern. I think it's a big thing is in, you know, I think that a lot of people are using simplicity in place of refinement. And this is one of those games that has been refined to the nth degree. I mean, they've done a really great job of it. And you have so many different skills and even just your normal attacks, they have this kind of weight to them that feels so good. You know, things fly across the screen or heads come off or
the physics.
Oh, it's over the top and awesome.
So much more fun than Diablo 2.
Yeah. Cause they just, things just died in Diablo 2.
And I didn't expect that. No. My class is Demon Hunter. We'll get into the classes here, off of this, but there's an ability that is basically I can attach a bola to any enemy, and there's a bomb on that bola. So it's just like you attach it, you wait a second, and things explode. And the first time that I did that in a group, and a head of one of the guys popped up, but not all the heads. Mm-hmm. Like every enemy kind of like got damaged in its own way, and I just really didn't expect that little detail. And then the heads just kind of rolling around on the ground, and it was very satisfying.
Yeah, like with Wizard, you use a disintegration beam. And when they die, they just literally turn into like ash and poof away. But I've been playing Barbarian, and since our live stream stuff, and the combat is visceral.
Yeah,
it is bloody. It is a very like it's a base guttural kind of thing. Like I'm playing this, and I am a caveman. I am grunting. I'm screaming. I mean, I'm turned into a barbarian in real life because. And if you ever played Titan Quest,
yes,
and it had this similar kind of physics, and it was pretty satisfying. When you would go, if you were really high level, and you went back to the first levels, and you would hit dudes, and they go flying. You do that at the very first level as a barbarian. You're hitting dudes. Your very first skill that you start with. It's your left click ability, and it's this huge bash thing. And when you hit something, it just, first of all, either goes flying, it completely explodes. Sometimes you blow the skin off of the dude's skeleton, the skin goes splattering, and the skeleton goes tumbling. Like, it's really, really violent. And I've had moments where the bodies of the enemies will come flying at my screen. And you'll just see them. Or I'll be playing with somebody else and they'll be like, holy shit. Cause they'll just, I won't even be that close to them, and they'll see a body go flying across the sky on their screen from because I hit them so goddamn hard. That is very satisfying.
Yeah. No, and I kind of had... I've used, you know, a couple of different classes, but I used the Witch Doctor when we played live. And, you know, he's got pets, but it was, you know, the pets themselves have their own personalities, and I kind of grew attached.
Like the Hulk dogs.
To the Hulk dogs and Edmund, the gigantic zombie giant.
I forgot about that
guy. Is it a zombie giant? Is that what it's...
What's he called? A
flesh golem or something?
I don't think he's a flesh golem. He could be, though.
Man, he was entertaining.
He was
real doofy, but he was real like... Doofy.
Endearing.
Super endearing.
He jumped in the middle of so many battles he had no reason to be in the middle of, but he never died. I mean, he could absorb so much.
Man, he really like...
He really
he
did.
He was the group's tank.
The only thing I'm worried about with the Witch Doctor is that it may be the most annoying class to play alongside.
Oh my god.
There's a lot going on.
Spider jars and everything.
Yeah. Oh. There's a lot going on, and he's noisy.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Mm-hmm. yeah.
We were on the live stream trying to talk, and he's like, right on the front of the stream machine, he's like... dropping all this, you know, there's fucking frogs raining from the sky and shit. I don't even know what's going on.
It's
no one
badass.
Can hear anything.
It's badass, but it
yeah.
You have to get used to
well,
it.
What I learned with the Witch Doctor is that actually as you get to more difficult sections of the game, like when we were playing, I was much closer to the action, but as you get further, and just very similar to the way the Necromancer played in Diablo 2, you need to be way away from the action. Right. And I think that will give your co-op teammates enough room to be able to function, though there are spells like the vomiting acid attack that just covers everybody in acid. It's you know, it's equal opportunity. It doesn't hurt your friends, but it's really confusing. So you really have to know how to. I feel like he's almost he almost has a functionality of, you know, having the possibility of, you know, an area of attack type unit, but also his pets are tanks, you know, more or less. So I mean, distance guys, I think he's complemented quite well by a demon hunter and maybe a wizard barbarian gets lost in the vomit. I mean, unfortunately, as does a monk.
Any other high points on the barbarian before we move on to other classes?
Yeah, so the barbarian, that was my go-to for Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's the only guy that was, like, around for all the crap that happened in the first couple games. Yeah. You know, he was, like, alive during all that.
Which was cool, just as a side note, that was a cool aspect of it.
Yeah. Really neat that they're like, oh, they brought back, like, that guy. He's got, like, gray hair.
Yeah.
But he's just still gigantic and strong. The skills are fresh. He plays... I think very differently. He's got this like the fury thing. Everything takes fury, but like you are, you're constantly just destroying everything. But it's like you got to manage because you're tanking, so you've got to just be in the middle of big balls of dudes. And there are times as the game goes on, you will get swarmed by like 10, 15, 20, you know, creatures at once. It's like, so you're always trying to manage these like really high end direct damage kind of, you know, attacks versus your, you know, what are you going to whirlwind or whatever you're going to do. I haven't gotten that far like level wise. I don't know, maybe it's like 20 or something, but as I've been going, the skills that have been opened up have let me play completely differently based on who I'm with. So, you know, I can really do that. I can manage crowds, or I can just go, oh, we're going to fight a boss soon. I'm going with like super high, you know, hitting one dude for like a whole lot of damage. He just has ranged. Mm-hmm. Like you have this super cheap little ranged thing where you can just throw throwing axes, like way more versatile than Diablo 2. And because of the physics stuff and all that, it's way more fun.
Yeah.
In my Demon Hunter experience been a little bit different since our co-op, as I was still learning the class. And like I said, I felt restricted by my skill options until I started remapping things. But as I've been playing solo with my Demon Hunter, I just feel like I am manipulating this game because I can control, it has so much crowd control between my traps and some of my damage abilities. But I'm doing a lot more of like burst damage as far as like I use some high damage attacks, but I'm always slowing characters down. I haven't gotten too much into her discipline side as far as like using shadow attacks or they actually unlocked a companion. I had a crow, I have a crow and a spider that I can use. And but I haven't messed around too much with that because I basically just try to clump all my guys together and I use that bola bomb a lot. And then I've unlocked abilities basically like a shotgun blast of arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Then also I've the chakrams, those things, when you've got two of those going and you know, at first when I was playing, using any of the skills, I just used them isolated, like very isolated. And then, like, you guys on the live stream, there's a moment where I realized that on the rapid fire, you can just hold down and it's basically like a laser.
Yeah.
And even the chakrams, if you use multiple, I was using like one at a time and it wasn't doing much and it has a weird kind of area where it actually does damage. But when I started using multiple chakrams, I would just start wiping the room out, and it became really satisfying. And I'd like, it's a great solo character.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would play it completely differently if I was playing in a group, but I feel much more in control of the character, and I can't wait, you know, as the game goes on, I'm going to have to become much more agile. There's a lot of, like, you know, moves where you kind of jump away from characters or
kite a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And so that...
Wizard's same way.
I haven't gotten into that quite yet, just because the difficulty hadn't been there, but it's starting to ramp up in Act 2, where I'm having to be a little bit more strategic, but... it's kind of got a nice slow burn that it's taken me that long to feel in control of my character, but now I'm going to really kind of run with it. But I'm loving that character.
I was going
to
say, with my Demon Hunter, once I get into Act 3, you know, I had to start utilizing, you know, the movement and stuff like that. But the shadow powers, definitely check out, you know, the invisibility aspect of it, because, I mean, you basically go invincible and you can sneak up behind groups, lay your traps, and back out.
Okay.
And that was a cool thing that I realized with the bullet, or not, with the exploding traps or the traps that cause damage. Actually, you can put those a distance away from you, or you can sneak up, lay a bunch of them around a group of enemies that has no idea you're there, and you sneak out. So, I mean, your shadow powers, your stealth power, there's a couple pets that more or less, that's not how you should use that character. I mean, they're great additions. It gives you some functionality, you know, if things get kind of dicey, but there's also a turret that you unlock at one point, which again helps you control that battlefield that much more. But that's one of those higher level skills that you're definitely gonna have to put some stuff into.
Skill selection, it's unbelievable. With the rune stuff, it's amazing.
There's just those, every character class has so much functionality based on it. I mean, you can, you know, whereas some of the, you know, the characters that are more about, you know, damage and staying away, they can't necessarily ever be a tank, but you can get them kind of mid ground if you really kind of, you know, set your equipment out right and stuff, which I like. You know, because again, it's not restrictive. You don't feel like, oh, now I can't suddenly go in and, you know, if I don't want to kite around, I don't have to. I mean, with that class, I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff.
Even with Wizard, they give you like this ice armor.
Yeah.
That, you know, has some damage reduction, but it's something hits you, they freeze.
Yeah.
So like they get one hit. If they don't kill you, they're done.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much.
Oh, and the Demon Hunter has all kinds of evasive recovery moves as well. So if you do get swarmed, you hit a button, you're out. You know, which is cool, which is really great, and which is really good design, I think.
Yeah. How's the Wizard treating you, Josh?
Man, okay, so I think I'm like level 27 or something, and now finally have enough runes for all the skills that I've had for a little while that they're all useful now. So, and when I was playing solo, I used completely different skills. I'll say there's, the lightning, it's like one of your primary skills that doesn't take any of your arcane power. That's the mana for Wizard in this. That's just like a basic little thing. You zap a couple guys with it as you shoot it. First rune you get, chain lightning. It's like the most useful thing you've got, and it's free, and it shoots as fast as your attack speed that you currently have for your character, and all your weapon damage for the Wizard too. If you have a good like your spell damage is directly tied to your weapon damage. So as you beef that up via, you know, your goodies, your loot, and your attack speed, your spells go off faster and they do more damage. So I got like I have a sword and shield on my Wizard right now because it gives me, and I'm a better Wizard because of it. Like, that's crazy. but the chain lightning with the first rune hits six dudes with one little zap. So I will use a bunch of slowing them down kind of spells, you know. I'll incapacitate, slow them down. I'll stand back and I will zap the crap out of them, or I'll freeze them in place and I'll drop a meteor right on their heads. And it is, man, I'll kill so much crap. Wizard gets really good. Early on in our live stream, I was like, you know, it was fun, but it looked better than it was. Like, you know, it was like, it looks neat. It's put on a fireworks show, but I don't feel like I was doing a lot of damage, and, you know, I didn't have a ton of crowd control. Now, totally different character. Completely different. I feel like a complete badass, just even on solo. I like everything that I've seen so far out of this game. I like all the classes look fantastic. I've played were awesome.
Say, I don't know if you guys, totally different. I don't know if you guys have played the monk, but Dito, our fourth member on our live stream, he seemed to be kind of leading the pack as far as damage was going.
Oh yeah. And, killing and everything.
It was a sight to see, and also probably the class I had the least expectations or knowledge around, just as far as how it's fitting into the world, but
He's got some pretty wicked moves.
Well, yeah, because the monk is usually your buff character, and it's kind of like, eh, you know, but he looks awesome. And he, like, his movements are completely different. It's not like, you know, in other games where everyone kind of hacks the same way, everyone kind of slashes the same way. He's doing kicks and
palm
spinning
strikes,
and punching. And all.
Exploding palm. That looks
great.
Really cool.
All of them move differently. All of them look differently in how they function, which is awesome. And, I mean, again, it's like all these, like, it's almost distracting to see. Like, I'd see Dito up here, and he'd be surrounded, and he would do this Jackie Chan maneuver, and I'm like, oh, look at him, and then I lose track of my character, you know, when I have all this stuff going on. I mean, there's a lot of eye candy, you know? The mm-hmm. the visuals are just always just attacking you, and it, that's cool. It
helps, helps longevity.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, right now, I think we're all about a little over halfway of the game. We're about at that midway point, I think. And I think Dito and Josh have finished Act 2. Mm-hmm. Ethan, have you finished Act 2 yet?
Yeah, I'm out on 3 right now.
And then all of our top-level characters are kind of in the 25 to 30 range, yeah. It sounds like. But the big thing that kind of opened my eyes, and I didn't realize this going into it, when Blizzard's been kind of promising the character profile on the website, where you can keep track of your loot and your friend's loot and display your character and your progress. Well, the progress bar actually shows, you know, where you're at on normal, and I forget the order. Sorry, nightmare, hell, and
inferno. Mm-hmm.
Inferno. Yep. So I'm thinking about this. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm about halfway done with the game. Well, I'm about halfway done with the game on normal, which is only, you know, 2 out of basically 16 acts, mm-hmm. and that they consider that the full completion of Diablo. And that's when I was like, holy shit, this game's got a whole multiple layers I haven't even touched yet.
Yeah, I have friends who have gone, you know, they got like level 60s and stuff, and they tell me that the loot completely changes. You constantly are seeing new stuff.
One rumor I heard was 70% of the items aren't even available on in the normal.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like both of us I know, Justin, have maxed out our blacksmithing right now until we get like some stuff that I don't know if it's going to drop at all in normal mode.
Yeah.
Like pages of blacksmithing. Right. I'm like, wait, yeah. What is this stuff? I look online and people are like, oh, this drops a lot in you know, in nightmare mode. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh yeah.
You know, here we go.
Well, even the style of loot, it's just not like, I mean, it's gonna look completely different too. I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, that's why it's so enticing to replay the game. Like most games don't give you that incentive in that same way. You like the game, you want to play it again because you enjoyed it the first time. You have to play this game again because it's not even Diablo until you get into, you know, nightmare and hell mode. I mean, if you're really into those kind of games, that's where the difficulty peaks up. That's where you really have to focus on strategy. That's where you really have to kind of look into your gear.
What level are you when you finally unlocked like your last rune, like for a spell or an ability rune? Really?
Yeah. Probably.
So you're unlocking, because those up runes can point. Completely change one of your abilities
when
or spells.
When did your friends hit 60? Does that happen in the second? Is that
No, I think some of them are in hell.
Hell, yeah. They say that what you're supposed to be able to get to, 32 on, I mean, if you grind, you can get a little bit higher, but you're supposed to get to like maybe 31 or 32 on normal, and then you get up to 51 on.
I think I saw a guy that said 57, and it showed him in Act 1.
Gotcha.
So that had to have been
the
third difficulty level.
Just curious for comparison.
Yeah.
What are your any concerns, or are you just more excited to move forward?
I want to play right now.
Yeah, I do too. My concern is I'm not going to play any other games for a really long time. Yeah. Like I am really concerned about that. There's not been a game I've jumped into like this. Like
I thought I'd be in and out basically after our live stream. I thought we'd like beat the, you know, I didn't know how long the game
was
going
to
be.
I was surprised to see you in as much.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's a kind of, either you like this kind of game or you don't, you know? So, and I do. But I'll be playing this for a while because I'm playing with my girlfriend, mm-hmm. and we play these games in bites, you know, maybe few hour sessions at a time, you know, but like maybe only once or twice a week. So we'll be playing this game for several months, and I'll do that with one character I play with her, and then I get to try the other stuff like with you guys online.
Yeah.
And
this hardcore mode.
I am really excited about doing a hardcore run with you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I want like 4 barbarians hardcore and just brutalize the hell out of
them. Oh, it would just be, it would be so, I'm not sure if the game can handle that much violence.
Yeah, a lot of testosterone. It may just shut down. They've already had enough issues with that.
I think the consensus is in. We're really enjoying Diablo 3 so far.
We're having a really nice time.
And I think it's going to do it for this episode.
Game of the month. Yeah. Bold statement.
Game of the last 2 weeks for me. Yeah, definitely.
The Max Best pa- game that came out on Max May 15th, Payne 2012. Takes another shot.
yeah, and join us again for another episode of the Curse Checkpoint real soon, and we've got a follow-up episode to this Diablo 3 discussion on your way as well. Thanks.
Bye.